Powell didn't know it, but his bravura performance was a huge house of cards. It is now known that almost all of what he said that day wasn't solid, that much of it was deemed doubtful, even at the time, inside the intelligence community, and that some of it was flatly false. The official, bipartisan conclusion of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence's review of the pre-war handling of intelligence was: much of the information provided or cleared by the Central Intelligence Agency for inclusion in Secretary Powell's speech was overstated, misleading, or incorrect. The assertion about chemical weapons would be proven flat wrong. The assertion about the nuclear program was based heavily on the belief that Iraq was seeking aluminum tubes for a centrifuge to enrich uranium for a nuclear program. The key question was whether the tubes were of a lower quality alloy suitable for military rockets or more finely made for nuclear work. It strikes me as quite odd that these tubes are manufactured to a tolerance that far exceeds U.S. requirements for comparable rockets, Powell said. But the State Department's own intelligence office had contradicted that very assertion 2 days earlier in its critique of a draft of Powell's speech. It objected to that statement about manufacture. In fact, it stated in a memorandum, the most comparable U.S. system is a tactical rocket, the U.S. Mark 66 air-launched 70-millimeter rocket that uses the same high-grade 7075T6 aluminum and that has specifications with similar tolerances. Worst of all, the assertion about biological weapons was based largely on the statements of one defector, codenamed Curveball, whose testimony already had been discredited. There was a second source for the statements about biological efforts, and that source had been formally declared a fabricator 10 months earlier by the Defense Intelligence Agency, which was handling him, but no one had told Powell about that. Powell believed what he said. Richard Armitage, who had gone out to the CIA's headquarters in Langley, Virginia, to help prepare Powell for the speech, recalled the effort that the Secretary of State put into it. He worked for 3 days and parts of all those nights, Armitage recalled. He called me up and said, "Can you come with me tomorrow? I need your help." And I went up there and was there all day, and he went through each point in the speech, every single one, and looked at everybody in the room, and nobody dissented. "Are we sure of the information? Are we sure of the sourcing? Is there anything wrong with the sourcing? And I don't know what more he could have done." George Tenet, the CIA director, was also there as Powell prepared, and kept coming in and out of the room, ordering his station chiefs to go back and check individual bits of information, Armitage recalled. George would go out of the room, "Call this country," he'd say, "call that country." "They're in the room and they're nodding. Everything's fine," Armitage recalled. "What are you going to do? What is he to do?" "I don't know." Armitage's conclusion 2 years later was that the agency let him down big time. The speech clearly didn't turn out to hold water. Powell had done the job. His performance had the desired effect of calming doubts in two camps of notable skeptics, the U.S. military and the pundits of journalism. The Bush administration's approach to selling a war in Iraq was to say, "Trust us." And Powell was one of the nation's most trusted figures, especially among moderates and liberals. Voices presenting other dissenting views, and ones that it is now clear had a better factual basis, were drowned out by Powell's performance. In February, Mohammed El-Baradei, director of the International Atomic Energy Agency, a nuclear watchdog office, reported to the United Nations, "We have found to date no evidence of ongoing prohibited nuclear or nuclear-related activities in Iraq." 3 weeks later, he returned and stated even more emphatically that Iraq's weapons capabilities had deteriorated badly since the time of the Desert Fox raid. "During the past 4 years," he told the Security Council, "at the majority of Iraqi sites, industrial capacity has deteriorated substantially due to the departure of foreign support that often was present in the late 80s, the departure of large numbers of skilled Iraqi personnel in the past decade, and the lack of consistent maintenance by Iraq of sophisticated equipment." He was all but ignored.